Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome into Black Hawk Church. So good to see you. Welcome to those joining us online. My name is Trevor. I'm usually serving at our downtown campus, but I get to be out with you all this morning. So good to be here. Would you stand with us? Let's start our time with worship this morning.
Nobody but Jesus, who rescued me from that grave.
To sing to our King Jesus. He's alive. He's alive. I wanted to read this passage of scripture for us. This is Hebrews 10, 19 through 24. It says this: "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." I need that reminder today, amen. "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." I love that passage, and I love what we get to do during this time. But as we worship King Jesus, we get to also remind each other and encourage each other that this is who our God is, that he is alive, that he is faithful, that he is good, that he is true, and that no matter what's going on in our lives, we can trust that, even though it's hard. And the other thing we get to do in worship is invite the Holy Spirit to move and transform our hearts. Because no band, no message, in and of itself can transform our hearts. Only Jesus and the Holy Spirit can. Amen. And so this morning, this next song, it's an invitation for the Holy Spirit to come and move. Not that we have to invite him in, he's already here working, but it's a posturing of our hearts. Jesus, would you come and move in the power of your Holy Spirit? So let's sing this together.
Come rest on.
So Jesus, we sing those words. We say, come have your way in us today. God, you are the only one who can transform hearts. And it's by the power of your Spirit, it's by what you have done for us, not what we can give you, but what you have already given us. So Jesus, we say, come and move in our hearts. We love you, we praise you. Pray all this in your name. Amen. Well, hey, before you grab a seat, why don't you turn to your neighbor, person next to you, and tell them, hey, how's it going?
All right. Well, hey, everybody. If we have not met yet, my name is Christian. I'm on staff here with the Braderway team, and it's so good to worship with you guys this morning, those of you in the room and those of you joining us online. Hey, if it's your first time at Blackhawk, an extra special welcome to you. We're so glad that you're here. We would love to say hello to you, get to know your name and a little bit of your story. And so if that's you, I would encourage you to stop by the Next Steps area on your way out. It's directly out those doors. We have a team of staff and volunteers who want to meet you. We have a small gift just to say thanks for hanging with us this morning. And so we want to get that into your hands. And for everybody, if you are ever wondering about or trying to remember something that we talked about here on Sunday morning, the Hub is a great way to stay connected. You can scan the QR code. You can head to the webpage. The Hub has information about all the events going on, not just the ones we talk about on Sundays, but tons more. Series resources, care resources, basically anything you could be looking for information on our website. The Hub is a great one-stop shop to find it all. So I'm going to encourage you to check that out. And something else that we talk about around here at Blackhawk a lot is about how everybody, no matter where you are on your faith journey, we all have a next step in our faith journey. And so one of the next steps that you might consider taking is through learning. And there are lots of different ways to take a learning step around here, including courses and Bible studies. But there are two courses on marriage and parenting coming up that we specifically want to highlight. They're crash courses, so just meeting two times. But these are a great way to kind of check out that learning step. The marriage course is going to be for anyone, whether you've been married for a few days or a few decades. It's a great way to kind of get some equipping. We are going to hear from Michelle Owen, who is a licensed counselor who's got experience both biblically and clinically training that way. And so it'd be a great way to learn about how to build friendship as a basis, as a foundation for your marriage. It's going to be incredible. I'd encourage you to check that out. And then we've got a parenting crash course coming up as well called Growing Together. This is going to be an awesome way to connect with some other parents and receive some equipping and some encouragement on how to raise your kids faithfully, pointing them towards Jesus and how to love them well at every stage. So I'd definitely encourage you to check that out. Hey, each week, in case you didn't know this, as we gather up here to worship, there are tons of kids who are downstairs worshiping God as well. And so it takes tons of Be Kids volunteers to make that happen every week. I see some Be Kids volunteers in the room, so thank you for all the ways that you serve and make that happen. We've got programming for kids all the way birth through sixth grade, and it's a great way for them to have fun and learn about God in a way that is age appropriate and just right for them. And so if you are someone who you serve, thank you so much. But each week we turn away kids because we don't have enough space to open up all of our available rooms. And so if you are not serving, but you'd be excited to hang out with kids and share the love of Jesus with them, help them grow in their faith, that could be a great opportunity to check out. And parents, one last thing. So if you are looking for ways to connect with maybe other parents with kids in the same age and stage of life as yours, Be Kids is holding gatherings every second Sunday for families to get together. And so today's second Sunday gathering is going to be for anyone with kids, 3 years old through kindergarten today. And so if that's you, after you pick up your kids downstairs, you can head to the hangout, meet some other parents, get connected that way, and be a great way to plug in. If you are looking to sign up or looking for more information on anything that I talked about, again, the hub is a great place to check that out, or you can always stop by the Next Steps area, and we would love to get you connected, answer any questions that you might have. But with that, I'm gonna pass it off now to Pastor Matt for today's message.
Well, all right. Welcome, everybody, to Black Hawk Church. So glad that you can be with us right now. Welcome to everybody who is joining us from our different sites and our different venues, from Gospel Fusion, from all of you in Traditions, from BCM, from Fitchburg, from Black Hawk Downtown, everybody who is watching online, and of course, all of you who are live in the room. So really glad that you can be with us. To my Mandarin-speaking friends, Dijon Si Me Ping An, and to my Spanish-speaking friends who are here, bienvenidos a Black Hawk. Estamos muy contentos de que estén con nosotros. We are one church in a lot of different locations. It's great to have a chance to be able to gather together. And hey, happy Super Bowl Sunday, everybody. So yeah, okay, all right, let's just get this out of the way. How many Chiefs fans in the room right now? All sites and venues, yeah, you can yell if you're a Chiefs fan. There are none in here, apparently, so... Yeah, nobody's pulling for the three-peat. Any Eagles fans in the room right now? Okay, I think we had four. So that kind of explains it. How many of us, it's like we really don't care all that much. So yeah, that got a lot. I don't know about your room, but that got a lot here right now. My wife Rachel and I will be watching with our community group because really, I mean, even if we're not pulling for any team, Super Bowl Sunday is just a fun day all together. There are all kinds of things that are sort of my favorite. Let me ask you, I mean, what are your favorites? I mean, okay, for a lot of us, it might not be the game per se. Is it the commercials, or like the halftime show that takes place? You know, I think Kendrick Lamar is performing tonight. For some of us, I know for me, it's not just gathering together with people, but like it's the food. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Super Bowl food is just amazing. There are all kinds of things that could be our favorite around the Super Bowl. There is one thing, though, that I am guessing when you think of your favorites does not come to mind for anyone, and that is this moment in the game right here. This is the coin toss. And here's the thing. The interesting thing is the coin toss every year when you watch on TV, it gets good TV time. They make a lot out of the coin toss. You'll see it tonight. They'll bring the cameras in. The captains of the Eagles and the Chiefs will come in and shake hands. The referees will be there. And the referee will pull out a coin that is a commemorative coin for that particular Super Bowl. I actually have one here. The one that I chose to get, though, was the one from Super Bowl I, where the Packers played the Kansas City Chiefs and beat them 35-10. Can I get an amen from anyone in the room? There you go. Maybe we should just watch that game tonight. We'll just put that one on in the background. And so the referee will hold the coin. They'll go ahead and do the coin toss. Someone will call it in the air. They'll have one side of the coin that is labeled heads, which looks a particular way. And then the other side, which looks completely different than that, which will be called... Exactly. Yes, you're with me. That's amazing. And so both of those sides, two very different sides of the same coin that are used for that coin toss. And that whole concept, two sides of the same coin, well, that's a phrase that, I mean, we hear in the world today. We use that different times. You know, two different sides of the same coin. It can be used for all different circumstances and situations. That's actually what we're going to be talking about today in today's message. If you haven't been around here over the last couple weeks, we just started a brand new series this past week called Once Upon a Future, where we are taking a look at the book of Revelation. And I have to say that we've been hearing from people, there's kind of a buzz around this series right now. It's really kind of funny. I mean, how excited you all are about stepping into the book of Revelation, the last book in the New Testament, because this book, it's just weird. It's a weird book of the Bible. There's all kinds of stuff that are going on in it that it's hard to understand. There's all sorts of figurative imagery within the book that's taking place. Like, it's complicated and nuanced, and people have different opinions of it. It's just really, it's a complicated book. And that's why I would like to say from the front to the teaching team, I would like to wish them good luck over the next 10 weeks, because as of Thursday, I am out of here. So that's right. I am going to be on sabbatical, and man, I am so excited about this. Charles and the teaching team came when we were looking at different sermon ideas for this season. They were like, hey, we would love to, you know, potentially take on the book of Revelation sometime during this year. I was like, how about spring, you know, during these dates? That would be amazing. And they bid on it. So there you go. So, but in all honesty, I think that the series really is going to be amazing the way that we set it up. Pastor Chris last week did an incredible job laying out kind of an overview of the book of Revelation. If you haven't had a chance to listen to that message, let me just say, you need to go back and take it in. It is going to help you so much and really whet your appetite for everything that we're doing for all 11 weeks of this series. And with that also, we also had our communication team that put together these trailers, just a pamphlet that really explains a lot of the book of Revelation. It's done in English and Mandarin and Spanish. And so you can pick those up afterwards. We'd love for you to grab them, and you can write notes on them. You can bring them with you, slide it in your Bible and bring it with you as we go through the series. We think it's going to be really, really helpful. But I mean, as we started into everything with this series, you know, my job today, after Chris kind of did the trailer to whet our appetites last week, my job more than anything is to introduce to you the main character of the book. And that can be interesting because you look at all the figurative imagery, you wonder who it might be. Really, the main character of the book of Revelation is Jesus. Surprise, surprise, we talk about him a lot around here. You know, the main character is Jesus. And if there's one thing that I want you to take away from this talk more than anything else, it's that the book of Revelation is not just about imagery that gives us exact ideas of what the end times are going to be like, or an exact idea of when that's going to take place. No, that's really not what it's created for. The book of Revelation, more than anything else, is supposed to give us a picture of the supremacy of Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, more than anything else. But in order for us to understand that, we've got to be able to see Jesus as the coin that we're talking about today, and to realize that in most cases in our lives, we look at one side of the coin of Jesus. Today, we are going to be flipping that coin and looking at the other side, because we focus on this first side so often. Let me see if I can give you an example. When you think about Jesus, like growing up, do you remember seeing images of Jesus, you know, the artist created to kind of give us a rendering of what Jesus might have looked like? You know, things that you might have seen growing up. Maybe it was a picture that your grandma had up in her house, or maybe if it was a church you attended at different times, they might have had a picture like that up somewhere. For me, I can think of lots of different pictures that I've seen kind of giving us an idea of what Jesus looks like. The first one that I remember actually is back at the school that I went to. I went to a Christian school, and in the elementary school offices, they had a particular picture of Jesus that they had up at that time. How many of you remember this picture? You've seen it before. Yeah, lots of us. It's a picture that was done by an artist named Warner Solomon back in the 1940s, and it was very well circulated here in the United States. And this was a picture that was up in the office space. And the thing that I always thought was interesting about it is that Jesus really, if we look at it, he's looking way more European and way less Middle Eastern, you know, than anything else. I kind of think of this as Euro Jesus. But that was one of the first pictures that I remember. Another one that comes to mind when I think of images of Jesus is the first Bible that my parents ever got me. It was a New International Version Bible. And on the cover was this picture here. Jesus spending time with these two kids, and he's like hugging a little lamb. And I just remember, I mean, that was one of the pictures for me that just gave me an idea potentially of what Jesus might be like. Okay, then fast forward to like the late 90s, early 2000s, and I can remember that there was sort of this movement for a very, like for a hot second, like a short period of time, of a t-shirt that was made that I had friends that had that said, Jesus is my homeboy, and there was a picture of Jesus that was on that shirt, and you would see that out different places. It was sold at Urban Outfitters, and you know, I mean, that was the way that people saw Jesus. I'm guessing that for you, even seeing those, there might be images, pictures, paintings that come to mind for you of the way that you see Jesus. And my guess is the way that you see all of those moves towards a particular side of the coin, a side of the coin that gives Jesus this picture of being his humanity, of being warm and kind and approachable, someone who we can come to in any situations. And really, I mean, in all honesty, Scripture wants us to understand Jesus this way. Jesus, when he was walking the planet, wanted people to see him as one who you could come to him regardless of wherever you were and experience acceptance from him. I mean, it's even as he was teaching, as he walked the planet, I mean, some of the words that he used at different times, like in Matthew chapter 11, where he said this, he said, come to me, as he was teaching a crowd, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He goes on in that section to say, for I am gentle and humble at heart. He's painting this picture of someone who you can come to, who's very approachable. And since that time, I mean, the church has done everything that they can to be able to paint Jesus into this picture that regardless of what you've done in your life or what's in your past, you can come to him. He gave his life, sacrificed himself for us, paying the penalty for our sins so that we can be in right relationship with him. And this is the picture that we are given over and over. And really, in all honesty, that's a great picture. People should understand that side of Jesus. But the reality is, it is one side of the coin. And the thing is, in focusing on that side so much, we can end up seeing so much of Jesus' humanity that he almost can become manageable to us. But what takes place in the book of Revelation that we're going to see is that John, who writes it, actually flips the coin to show us the other side of Jesus that I think is incredibly important for us to understand. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 1 right now, or however it is that you take in Scripture. We'll have it on the screens as well. John moves into this side right out of the gate in Revelation chapter 1, starting with verse 9, helping us to see the other side of the coin. He has this experience with Jesus that he tries to help people understand. He says this, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patience and endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the spirit and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Okay, Pastor Chris talked about these different churches just a little bit this past week. We showed this slide last week of the different places, the different spots in what is known now as modern day Turkey, of the different places where these cities were, that these churches were. And you'll see that down there, this little black dot on this small little island of Patmos, that's where John is writing from at this time to all of these different churches. As we continue in this series, you'll hear more about these different churches as we continue through the series, but let's keep reading right now. John says, verse 12, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, white as snow. The hair on his head was light, like white as snow, and his eyes were like a blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all of its brilliance. Okay. Let's just say that whatever John is seeing now in this moment, as he turns around to look at Jesus, what he's seeing in that moment, yeah, it's not Euro Jesus or Lammy Jesus or Homeboy Jesus. You know, what he's seeing in this moment, it's so different. It's massive. It's fierce and intimidating and frightening. John can't even, you pick up on this, he can't even come up with words to completely describe what it is that he's seeing. You notice that over and over again, he uses the word like in this phrase, where he's saying like hair like wool, eyes like a blazing fire, feet like bronze, voice like a rushing water, face like the sun. It's like what he's seeing is so bizarre. He can't even come up with the right way to be able to describe it. Artists over the years have tried to create renderings of what this moment might have looked like. There's a particular artist named Martin Trench that created this picture in order to try to capture what it was that John was taking in that moment. And I don't know if he completely nailed it or not. I don't know if I've ever seen an artist rendering that completely nailed it. But regardless, my guess is this is not the picture that your grandma had of Jesus up in her home. You see, John was trying to help us to understand what he was seeing of Jesus, that it was frightening. It was intimidating. And it caused him to fall on his face. Let's keep reading. Verse 17, he says, When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death in Hades. Okay, now let me pause here for just a minute, and let's talk about John, because there are lots of different theologians who have differing opinions on this as to which John it actually was that was writing the book of Revelation. Most theologians land in the place of believing that this was written by John, the disciple of Jesus, the brother of James, that he's the one who wrote this book. And that actually, that's the belief that I hold too as well. Now, think about this. If it was that John, then he has spent massive amounts of time with Jesus. You know, I mean, he for 3 years of Jesus' ministry, he has traveled everywhere, slept in the same places, he has eaten countless meals, had all kinds of different conversations. He's laughed with him and done life with him. He wasn't just a part of the 12, but scripture tells us that he was actually a part of the three best friends of Jesus, Peter, James, and John, who knew Jesus better than anyone else. In other words, like if there was anyone who had no reason to be intimidated by Jesus, it was John. And yet the coin flips for him. And all of a sudden, he sees this picture of Jesus that puts him on his face. It's like as we look at this story, you know, like John all of a sudden is in this world where he It's like he can't even be in Jesus' presence. So here's a question that we should have. Why is it that Jesus would want to make sure that John saw him this way? Like, you ever stop to think about that? Why would he want John to experience Jesus? Why would Jesus want John to experience him this way? And for that matter, why would he want all of us to understand that? There's a word that comes to mind for me with that. It's when we flip the coin of Jesus' humanity and move into the glory of him as truly God, it moves us to a place of awe. Let me ask you, when is the last time when you thought about Jesus and it moved you to a place of awe? And when I say that, I don't just mean awe in like the idea of I'm in awe that Jesus would come to this earth, become human, that he would take on my sin, pay the penalty for my sin, that I get to be in relationship with me, he forgives me. No, I'm not talking about that kind of awe. I'm talking about awe in the reality of Jesus being fully God himself, King of kings, Lord of lords, outside of time, never having a beginning, will never have an end, all powerful, all knowing, bigger than we can wrap our minds around, more pure and holy and perfect than we could understand. You see, because here's the thing, what scripture tells us is that one day we will come face to face with Jesus. Just stop and think about that for a moment. Like whenever that moment comes where we see him, like, and we see him in all of his glory, like, are we just gonna be like this before him? Where it's like, Lord, I don't even deserve to be in your presence right now. When I look at my life and the way that I've lived in comparison to who you are, I shouldn't even be here. You are so great. See, I think that this is what John's experiencing in that moment. It's the pure gloriousness of Jesus as the God of the universe. And here's the thing, the reason why it's so important for us to see that side of the coin is because it makes the other side of the coin that much more amazing. When I see God, when I see Jesus in all of his glory, and I realize that Jesus, yeah, he came to this world for me. He gave his life for me. He is humble and merciful and gracious. He forgives me. He desires to be in relationship with me. When I see the greatness of God and realize that he desires that relationship with me, the combination of those two sides make the coin of Jesus that much more amazing. See, this is the reason why I think John was experiencing what he was experiencing in that moment. He wanted John and therefore us to see the big picture of who truly Jesus is. That he's the one who is saying, yes, I love you. I gave my life for you. I forgive you. I am gracious and merciful with you. I long to be in relationship with you and have you as a part of my family, have you as a part of my team. That's the one side. And then the other side is, I am fierce. I am intimidating. I am outside of time. I am the King of kings and the Lord of lords. I am all powerful, almighty, all knowing God. And I have come to this world to destroy evil and put death to death. And by the way, in the end, I win. You see, it's us understanding those two sides where all of a sudden the book of Revelation makes way more sense. You see, because we come to this realization that in the end, Jesus wins, but there is still a battle that's going on right now. And it's a battle that honestly, we don't think about all that often. It's a battle between good and evil, between Jesus and Satan. And it's a battle for the souls of people. And it can be so easy in this world for us to be able to look at the things going on in the world and to feel like evil is winning, darkness has got it. And I mean, like what's happening within the world? And it's moments like this where all of a sudden we see who Jesus is and we're reminded of the fact that in the end, he wins, that does something for us. For those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus, scripture tells us we're on the winning side. So how should that affect us? Like, what should that do for our lives? Well, I'll tell you, okay, one thing that it doesn't do. Being on the winning team, it does not guarantee that we are going to have a safe and happy life free from struggle. You know, I mean, the reality is hardships, setbacks, I mean, pain, suffering, all of those things are coming for us because the reality is we are still in a broken world. The battle continues to rage on. And in a broken world, we are going to struggle. Scripture tells us that. And so, you know, sometimes I talk to Christians who, it's like when they've placed their faith in Jesus, they picture that now, like, Jesus becomes this person in their life, that he's going to make everything safe and the path perfectly straight and everything work out to where there will be no hardship and no suffering and nothing bad that happens. And then all of a sudden, something like that happens in their life and they feel like they're gonna walk away from their faith. And I get that because of the pain that we go through in life. But the reality is, on this side of eternity, we're going to deal with hardship. People are going to hurt each other. Injustice is going to happen. Natural disasters are going to take place. There are going to be times in your life where you lose jobs or money is tight. Things don't happen the way that you wish that they were going to. And in the process of it all, sickness and things like cancer and ultimately death are coming for all of us. Revelation doesn't give us an answer to why those things happen, but it reminds us of the fact that for those of us who are on Team Jesus, man, that those things are temporary. And even in the midst of the pain and suffering, we know that we are on the side of Jesus where good eventually wins, and we will be with him for all eternity. And when we see Jesus this way in all of his glory, and it should bolster our confidence in the way that we live our lives, that we know that we can live, man, for the good of other people because of the fact that we know that in the end that Jesus wins. It should change the way that we live. So how do we live? Well, let me see if I can explain it this way. How many of you remember what these are? You remember these? Oh, man. I'm telling you. So for any of you who are college students or younger, you totally missed out. Let me just tell you. So this is a DVD box and this is a VHS tape box, both from an incredible place called Blockbuster Video. And Blockbuster Video, so for those of you who are younger, you might not realize this, that for any of us who are older, in order to watch a movie that like wasn't a movie that was just on TV all the time, if you wanted to watch a movie, especially a new release, that like on a Friday night, you actually had to get in your car and drive to a store called Blockbuster Video. And maybe it would be you and your family or you and your friends, and you would walk into your store and collectively, all of you together, would have to decide on a particular movie that you all wanted to watch. And you remember it, at Blockbuster, the new releases were all along the wall, all on the edge, and then the middle was just that myriad of movies that you're never sure if anybody actually watched in itself. And a lot of times you would go and look for a new release and it wouldn't be there. They'd have to go check the bin. Do you remember that? To see if it was there. You'd finally get one and they would scan your card and you would then drive home and watch the movie all together. And you'd have the video for a few days and then you had to return it and take it back to the store where you would drop it in the Dropbox. And if you didn't do it in time, you would get late fees. How many of us have dealt with late fees at some point? They were the worst. I hated late fees. But that's the way that things happen. This is the way that Blockbuster did it. And they were the store. But then back in the late 90s, I remember hearing about a new video service that was coming out from a company called Netflix. Netflix all of a sudden had this idea where they decided they were not going to have brick and mortar stores. Oh, no, 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 no. The way they were going to do it, they were going to actually mail you a DVD. And so you started a subscription. And once you started that subscription, they would send it to you in the mail. And then once you were done watching it, whenever it was, you would put it in an envelope and you would mail it back to them. I'm like, how in the world is this going to work? That will never work. That's what I thought. And they were even back at that time in the early 2000s, they started talking about streaming movies, like over your computer, online. And I'm thinking, that is never going to take off. And Netflix was this thing, like their first years, as any startup, it's volatile and it's up and down like a roller coaster. And they actually, this is interesting, Netflix actually came to Blockbuster and offered to sell their company back at the time for a mere $50 million. Blockbuster turned it down because they could not picture the idea of any video deal actually happening without brick and mortar stores. Well, fast forward to 2025. And Netflix is worth altogether over $400 billion. And Blockbuster, well, it has one store in Oregon which works as a museum. No kidding. Now, here's my point with all of that. Let's say that there is a chance that you could actually go back right now. Somehow we could time travel back to the 90s when Netflix began and you had the opportunity to buy stock in Netflix. What would you do? You see, my guess is you would be all in. It would change the way that you looked at everything in life and what it was that you were putting into that company. And as you watch the next years of the volatility of, is it gonna work? Is it not gonna work? How is this actually gonna happen? Looks like they're going under. Your anxiety level actually would be really low because you knew the way that things were going to work out. You knew how it was going to end. See, that's what the book of Revelation is supposed to do to us. And it's what understanding both sides of the coin of Jesus is actually supposed to do to our lives. It's supposed to move us into a place to where we can move through this life with a different type of lens and confidence in what takes place in the end. Knowing that Jesus wins in the end, man, it should change. It should change our priorities. It should change the way that we spend our time. It should change the way that we spend our resources. It should change the way that we use our money. It should change the way that like we look at using everything in our lives that come before us. It should lower our anxiety. When we look at the things in this world and feel like everything is going the wrong direction, it should lower our anxiety to know that in the end, Jesus wins. See, he desires for us to be able to understand that by our courage being bolstered. It's seeing who Jesus is, the one who is more powerful than we can understand or imagine, who loves us more than we can fathom. So my question for you today is, how is that affecting your life? That'd be a great conversation to have with your community group. But then on top of that, I want to talk to a particular crowd of people at all of our sites and venues right now watching online to say, have you ever come to the place where you've actually accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Because he would desire nothing more than for you to be a part of his family, than for you to be a part of his team. And he offers that to us freely. The God of the universe came to this world to pay the penalty for our sins so that for anyone who places their faith in him and him alone for their salvation, they can have eternal life. Not because of anything that we do. We're people who have fallen short of God's standards, and God knew that. And so he sent his son Jesus into this world to pay that penalty for us so that we can be in right relationship with him. Maybe for the first time today, you're going, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Like, I get it. I see he's God of the universe. He's greater than I can understand. He loves me more than I understand. Where do I sign up? And maybe today you want to place your faith in Jesus. It's really a simple way to be able to do that. It's just coming to the place of realizing I can't save myself. I need a savior. I'm placing my faith in Jesus. And if you want to make that decision today, I want to give you the chance to do that. And you can just simply, wherever it is that you are in the quietness of your own heart right now, you can just simply say, God, I know I'm a sinner. Can't save myself. Today, I'm placing my faith in Jesus. Jesus, thank you so much that you gave your life for me. You paid the penalty for my sin so that I can be in right relationship with you and be a part of your family and be a part of your team. So would you come and be my Savior and be my Lord? In Jesus' name, amen. Look, if you made that decision today, you just made the greatest decision that you could ever make in your life. We'd love to be able to help you see the next steps that you can take. And so at all of our sites, all our venues, our site pastors, our hosts, our worship leaders, you know, people at the Next Step series would love more than anything to have a conversation with you, just to help you to see what are the next steps you can take? Where do you go from here? Stop by Netflix and we've got a gift for you that we'd love to be able to give you that just sort of gives you an idea of direction that you can go. What did I say? Did I say Netflix? Wow. I mean, you can, newsflash, Netflix doesn't have stores. You can't go there. So stop by Next Steps. So can I get an amen for anyway? Yeah. Wow. Stop by Next Steps because they really would love to talk with you. We'd love to help you in any way we can to move forward with this. But maybe for you, maybe you're not ready to have a conversation, and we get that. I mean, that can be intimidating. And so even if you would just, I mean, as you're here or even on your way home, if you would just text the word yes to this number, it's a way that we can be in touch with you. And it just lets us know so we can be praying for you and moving that direction. And we would love nothing more than just to be able to help you however it is that we can. There's no greater decision that you can make. The God of the universe, who's bigger than we can imagine, He moved towards us because of His love for us. That's both sides of the coin. Let me pray for us. Lord God, thank you so much for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for his power and his strength and his might. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are fully God and that you love us. I pray for anybody who has placed their faith in you today. I pray, Lord, that like if they would know if anything were to happen to them, they would go to spend eternity with you, not because of what they've done, but because of what you've done. And God, would the reality of your greatness and your love fall fresh on us, that it would give us confidence in how we move in the future. We pray these things in Jesus' name. All God's people together said, amen.
Well, we get a chance now as a community to take part in something that serves as a reminder to us of Jesus's great love when he came to earth. We're gonna take communion together. And if you'd like to take communion today, but you didn't grab elements on the way in, go ahead and raise your hand and ushers will be around. They can bring those to you. And I know at different churches, different people handle this differently. And so a little word about how we do communion here at Blackhawk. So you don't have to be a member here to take communion or anything like that. If you have come to the place of placing your faith in Jesus and Him alone for your salvation, you are so welcome to take communion with us. But we know every time we gather, that's not everybody in the room. And if that's you, we're so glad you're here. And no pressure. We don't want you to feel like you have to take part in this today. So you can feel free to just sit and reflect on Matt's words and what they might mean for you and for your life. But even if you just placed your faith in Jesus today, we invite you to go ahead and take communion with us. And communion is celebrating the Lord's Supper. It's this moment, the day before Jesus would go to the cross, where he gathered together with his disciples in an upper room, and he took this Passover meal, which already had so much meaning to them as a Jewish community, and he infused it with new, rich meaning because of what he was about to do on the cross. And it serves as a symbol for us of his love in our lives today. So at the beginning of the meal, he gave thanks and he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Let's take and remember him. In the same way, at the end of the meal, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Let's take and remember him.
Would you stand with us? Let's close our time with worship. Thank you.
You're the God who covers every sin, the healer of our brokenness, the keeper of your covenant. We give praise. To see the author of eternity, we give praise, we give praise, and give praise to the Lord our God, and give praise to the Lord our God, and give
prayer for, there'll be a team of us up here who would love nothing more than to pray with you. And if you put your faith in Jesus today, there is celebration happening in heaven, and I want you to know that. We know this is a huge decision, and it can be hard to figure out what to do next. And so I would encourage you to tell somebody or to text yes to that number, 608-618-4003, and head out to Next Steps. We've got a gift for you that will help you take those first next steps of faith in your journey. We want to get that into your hands. For those of you who haven't yet, make sure you grab grab one of those playbills that Matt was showing earlier. They are incredible. It's a nice little reminder of who all the characters are in the story of Revelation, what's going on. It's a great sheet. And if you got one last week, the English version had a small printing error. And so if you want to get the updated copy, those are available as well. But I want to end our time together with a benediction, which just means a good word. It's like a blessing and a reminder as we go from here out into whatever the rest of this week holds for us. And I was just reflecting from Matt's words on how Jesus loves us and he wins in the end, and that changes everything. And so no matter where you are on your journey with him, Jesus is gonna see you through to that end. And so our benediction comes from the book of Philippians, and it goes like this: have confidence that he who began a good work in you will take it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, everyone, go in peace.